Blog Talk Radio.
Doesn't matter what it is, put the picture up, and we'll be able to show that to Dr. Monica, because today we know you are anxious about this. We know that. Dr. Monica's like, I can help people with this, right?
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for, to help you with your questions, with your problems, with anything that you have that has to do with pets. That's why I'm here.
So can animals tell us where they're hurting? Can they do that or not?
Animals can tell me.
Animals can tell you.
Right. The problem with the majority of the animals, and I'm not going to say all of them because some of them are not like that, but the majority of the animals are very stoic. They do not want to show that they're hurting. And it all begins in the beginning of time. And because we always know that the weaker animal does not make it, so you have to be strong, you know, in the wild, and only the strong animal survives. So they have that innate response into themselves, their mental thought process. So they do not want to show you that they hurt unless the pain is so severe that they cannot handle it. And so that's when, you know, they might whimper or cry in pain, or they simply don't put their foot down. And you go, why is my dog not putting his foot down? And then you take him to the vet, and lo and behold, you realize they have a broken leg. So the majority of them will not tell you. You have to look at the visual clues. But I have many clients that come in to tell me, my dog is different. We took them to the vet. They did the necessary blood test. You know, they can't find anything wrong. That's why you need me. Because when I see an animal in front of me that has a different demeanor than normal, then I will ask him first, do you have a specific problem? Does it hurt? Is it bone, muscle? Is it an organ? Can you describe what you feel? And so many times they will tell me, there are a few times that they can't. They will say something like, I have a headache, or I have a nausea and I anymore. So when people come to see me, whatever little I can give them and offer that the pet knows, they will take that to the vet and say, you know, can you look for these? You know, he's nauseous. Then maybe they can give him a pill for nausea and they start eating. Now, I do something that it is very particular. This is something that I do. Not all communicators are able to do that. I'm a medical empath. And what that means is that I feel what the animal feels. And I am able to translate for you in human words how I feel when I'm close to your dog. So many people ask me, how do you do that? And the best explanation that I can bring is that I close my eyes, and in my third eye, I do like a CAT scan or like an X-ray. Start from one end, very slowly go through the whole body from one end to the other. And as I am doing these, different areas will light up. And it depends what color I see, yellow, orange, bright red, that I would know that there is a problem in that vicinity. And when everything else fails, then I would do something like that. But to do that, I have to have a little bit more specific details. For instance, I don't know what is wrong with my dog or cat, and can you tell me what is wrong? Well, sometimes that doesn't really work. But if they tell me, he hasn't been eating, or he's going potty very often, or he's drinking a lot of water, then it gears me into finding the right area. Sometimes every single animal is different. So I'm giving you a broad example of the things that I can find for you, the client.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, what's going to happen, we're going to talk about the folks that have sent you the pictures in whatever order you want. But we're also taking calls, Benny, 1-800-930-2819. And as I said before for folks, when we come back, make sure that if you do want to, you know, post a picture on social media, we'll make sure we get it in front of Dr. Monica. Dr. Monica, if you were to work with you directly.
My website is petcommunicator.com. And as soon as you open my website, you have my phone number, which is right next to me right now. And you can call me at any time. And also, you can email me at drmonica@petcommunicator.com. Before I go, I really would like to have on the line Karen, who is Olivia's mom. And give me 1 second. I need to find out who else, because it is easy. Easier to talk to the person.
Well, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll make sure we get all that going on.
Okay.
Yeah, let's take a short break. Hey, everybody, stay tuned. 1-800-930-2819. That's our toll-free number. Say hi to Benny. We'll be right back. Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Pump up your spiritual muscle as we share stories,
aspire higher,
and live a whole lot larger.
To help you unleash your powered up,
pumped up, I am soul stretching success.
Anything can happen when we take to the airwaves.
And all things become possible during the I Am Power Hour.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy Al, on the Tracy Al Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Are you concerned about the coronavirus? The Ecosystem Approach Show is doing 4 shows on the coronavirus with energy techniques that we do with you during the show to help activate your immune system. As intuitives, we see the energies that enabled this virus and how it spread. Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on Transformation Talk Radio.
Calling all moms. It's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, and loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power at work, home, and play. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms, helping everyday women create extraordinary lives every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit VibrantPowerfulMoms.com.
Are you ready to awaken to your divine and true potential? Tune into A Spirit of Exchange Radio with me, Carrie Kadambi, every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We discuss the evolution of the modern mind and how the power of awakening, healing, and connecting allows us to step into living a life of love and action. For more information about me, visit TheDivineGuidanceGift.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Ness. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuition, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, this is one of those shows that many of you have called us and have said, we want to know what to do when animals are sick. And so Pets Talk with the most amazing pet communicator, Dr. Monica, is joining us here today, and we're taking this on. We also are doing a live reading. The way to do a reading and is this. Please post your picture on Facebook, put your question, but Dr. Monica may want to talk with you because it isn't as easy as show me your picture and ask me a question, because sometimes it's more complex. So the folks that have sent us 1-800-930-2819, and we will make sure that you get the answers you want. Before we go to our first, before we go to Olivia and our first question, there was a question that came in from one of our listeners that happens to have my cell phone number, and she says, hi, this is BB. And would you please ask Dr. Monica, does she only work with the living pets? What about my pet who is passed? Can she work with her? Okay. Can you answer that?
Absolutely. This is a wonderful question. And the short answer is yes, of course. 50% of my business is talking with our living pets, not only dogs. Dogs, cats, horses, reptiles, whatever you have in your home as a pet, I will talk to your pet. The other 50% of my business is a toss-up between talking to those who are ready to pass, whether or not they're ready, and talking to those who have passed and are now in spirit. Now, I didn't know for the longest time that I couldn't talk to spirit, until one time I was doing readings, and I used to do readings one right next to the other. I used to go to a group of people, and every 15 minutes I used to get a new client. This time a client comes in. It was an older lady. She opened her purse, took out her wallet. Inside her wallet she had a picture that she had Christine for, and she handed me that picture, and she says, this pet had been with me 45 years ago. Can you talk to her spirit? And I looked at the picture, 45-year-old picture, and I said, well, I don't know, but let's give it a try. This was many, many years ago. And so as soon as I started translating things for her, they were so specific and so particular that only she knew and nobody else knew, that it convinced both of us that in fact time, whenever we need to, we can go back and talk to them. So absolutely, I'm able to talk to spirits as old as 45 years ago and as new as 30 days. We need to wait 30 days before trying to connect with the spirit of those who have gone, because it takes a little bit of time twofold. One, for them to adapt to their new circumstances, and for you, the owner, the client, so that you can go through your mourning, and then by the time the 30 days are up, you would be more open to understand the important things that they're trying to tell you.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, and thank you, Bibi, for asking that question. Now, we're ready to go to the phones, and who do you want to speak with first?
Let's go with Olivia first, because Olivia sent me a picture of a white little baby who I think has a lot of Shih Tzu, maybe poodle in her, so I'm going to ask her first. Olivia, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Actually, my dog is the white pit bull.
Oh, yours is the white pit bull. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let me change pictures because I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay. Excellent. So, as I was saying, then Olivia sent a picture of a white pit bull, beautiful picture that is, I'm trying to open up my picture. Olivia, give me 1 second. Here we are. Okay. And the picture that you sent, again, is beautiful. Casper, he is hugging a cat who looks to me to be an Abyssinian. Do you know?
I think he's a color point short hair. I'm not totally sure. I adopted him.
Okay. He's a mixture. He's not a fully one or the other. It's a mixture, but it's a beautiful picture regardless. So your question, very good, very specific question, Olivia, thank you. And you said, why is Casper, or why has Casper started chasing the cat, correct?
Yes, that's what I'm wondering.
Okay. Generally speaking, when I talk to someone, I want to know just a few things. For instance, how old is Casper? How long has he been with you?
So he's about 2.5. I got him last April.
2019. Okay. And how old is name and how old is your cat?
The cat's name is Indy and he's approximately 17 years old.
Thank you. Okay. So to give you very specific information, we are going to have to do a consultation, obviously, so that you get all the ins and outs. But Casper is telling me that Indy, different smell to him. And he doesn't recognize the Indy that was in the house when he first came in. So let me translate in other words what that means. Indy is not doing well. Either he is diabetic or he has something in his body that is emitting a different smell. And Casper is just concerned. He doesn't recognize the cat as being the same cat as he has before. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't know what to do with that information. What you need to do is take Indy to the vet.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Any other follow-up questions, Olivia? What's Casper's deal with the washing machine?
What's Casper's deal with the washing machine? Okay. He's sending me a picture that he is intensely looking at this washing machine, and he can't figure out why it's making this high-pitched swishing noise. You might not be able to hear it, but he is hearing a very high-pitched chinyu or different than the one you always had it.
So we moved in October, so it's a new machine to us, but it's definitely an old washing machine.
Right, but it's new, a new sound for him. He's very, I don't want to say this to hurt your feelings, but I want to say that Casper is very single-minded. You know, if there is one thing that bothers him, he cannot hear or think about anything else. He is very intent on fixing the problem. And because he can't fix it, he starts acting out.
Yeah.
Okay. So the only thing to correct something like that is to desensitize him to the new sound and be in front of the machine washing while feeding him or giving treats or talking or loving him, and it will pass eventually.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to go to a short break. When we come back, Karen is up next. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host, Tanis McRae, is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com. Have you ever wondered what your pet thinks out? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica will be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friend on Pet Talk with Pet Communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com. It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Raising the vibrations through stimulating conversations while exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria on Tales from the Merworld Radio with me, Amira Beth. Join us every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be ready to feel empowered and an active part of the changing earth. For more information about me, visit AmiraBeth.com.
The Truth Is Funny, This Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Hey everybody, welcome. Yep, you're listening to Pets Talk right here. Part of the thing here that we're doing for those of you, we have taken what your request is very, very seriously. And one of the things we are doing is making sure that we're getting you the information you need today with Dr. Monica. So we've got two people. We're going to go to Karen first. But before we do, let's give out that website and phone number. Then we'll go to Karen, and then we'll go to Terry.
Perfect. My website is petcommunicator.com. Remember, 2M from communicator. And then my email is drmonica@petcommunicator.com. And my phone number is on my website.
Let's give it out to people.
All right.
If they're driving, they're not probably going to be looking at the website.
Okay. Then 714 is the area code for California, and it's 772-2207. Very easy. Sevens and twos.
Sounds good. Hey, let's go. Benny, let's bring Karen on.
Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Karen.
Hey,
Karen.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Karen?
Send me a picture of a little white dog. Can you tell us more about the breed, the age, and the name?
He's a Rasa Ocsapoodle. He's
okay.
6.5 years old. And her name is Sadie Olivia.
Sadie Olivia.
That's why.
I got confused. Okay. So, Miss Sadie. Karen, the problem is that your question was, what is she trying to tell me? This is a very broad question, you know, and if I were with you doing a consultation, of course, you know, I would start by telling you all the things that Sadie wants to tell you. But because we are limited to one question for the program, I want you to be a little bit more specific and ask one single question of Sadie.
To staring at me, he just said a lot, and I know he's trying to tell me something. I just don't know what it is.
Okay. Dr. Pat, did you hear what she said? Because
say it one more time, Karen.
The picture that I sent is very representative of how she acts all the time. And she just sits and stares at me like, and she just stares at you intensely. And I know she wants to tell me something, and I just would like to know what that is.
Okay. Okay. So I understand now. And I can give you this answer. Some animals at a higher level are more intense than others. And so they use the way they look at you, not necessarily to tell you things, but to tell you they are watching you, they're looking at you, and they're listening to you. Because you see, Karen, we humans make pictures in our minds all the time. We might not be very expressive. We might not talk to our animals as much as other people, but we're always thinking. We're thinking about things that we need to do, but we are always thinking about them and how much you love them and what would you like to do. Sadie is very intense. She wants you to know that she's there, she's present, she's paying attention, and to do that, she's intensely watching you every second of the day to see what is it that you're thinking. And when saying, then that is the connection. And she is just telling me that you are not always the same, that there is a little disconnect between what you say and what you think. And to be able to get the whole you, Sadie is trying very hard to look intensely at your soul. Maybe, put it in other words, she can read your mind.
What do you make
of that? Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Tell me what's interesting most about it. Getting in your head, right?
Yeah. To say the least.
Is there anything, Dr. Monica, to do about it? I mean, or basically, yeah. She's like telepathically talking to you. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's what it is. And for people that are like Karen, that maybe they're doing a lot of things and they can't sit still for a long time, it is important to practice meditation. And thank goodness for the coronavirus, Karen. You can stay home and do a 10-minute meditation every day with Sadie Olivia by your side. And you'll see that your communication, the way that she feels about you is going to start improving quite a bit.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Hey, let's go to a short break, everybody. We've got Terry on the line. I think Terry just sent me a picture of Bailey. I am going to try to get this off my email, if I could, so I can put it up here. But in the meantime, we are taking your calls for general questions. If you don't have a picture of your animal friend, we can take a general question. But
absolutely,
more importantly, Dr. Monica will work with you directly. Let's take a short break. Benny, let's take a short break. Olivia, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Kimberly Carlson, and I would love for you to tune in to All In Healing Radio, where together we will begin to experience health, happiness, and harmony in all areas and aspects of life. Join us every first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. on TransformationTalkRadio.com. All In Healing will help you relieve layers of negative beliefs and energies for radiant health, deep joy, and greater abundance. Visit me at KimberlyCarlson.com.
Some people dream of freedom before they know it even once. What happens when we find ourselves in unimaginable freedom? We're tired, children are grown, we've moved on from caregiving, and don't know what to do with all that time you never had before. Well, it's your life. It's up to you now. On the hit new show, Fresh Courage, it's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe. on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuition, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truths, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom of Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit SarahMain.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Oh boy, we're back. Hey everybody, welcome back. What a great show. It's really kind of awesome to have all of you tuning us in and turning us on right now. Dr. Monica is here. As we said before, there's a website you can go to, and that is petcommunicator.com, petcommunicator.com. This is Pets Talk. And look, these are short readings. We're not getting to everybody, but here's what you should know. We're going to be doing more of these shows. What Dr. Monica is doing is she's sharing some information, but a lot of times there's more information to be gotten. And that's why you work with her separately. She works with people all over the world. Not only that, she teaches other people how to do what she does, right, Dr. Monica?
That's right. I do have an online academy for beginners, intermediate, and advanced people. And then they have to pass a test, of course. But it is a way to start understanding how this information comes through, and some people have already been doing it all their life.
Yeah.
They just need someone to guide them to do that.
All right, let's get Terry J. Walker.
All right, so we got a picture.
Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are,
Terry. So we got a picture of Bailey.
Howdy, Terry.
Bailey, your little dog. He is a poodle or
he's a Labradoodle.
Labradoodle.
Okay. That is half Labrador, half poodle.
Wow.
A beautiful dog, chocolate in color. So how old is he, please?
He just turned 2 in February.
All right, fantastic, thank you. Now, you have a couple of questions. Your first question was, can he be a reincarnation of 2 of your previous dogs? Now, this is a very good question, Terry, and I have a lot of information on reincarnation. I was the first animal communicator that touched the subject of reincarnation, and this was over 20 years ago, because at that time nobody even wanted to touch that subject. But as you well know, when we have a new dog that comes into our lives, many times they remind you of either the previous dog that you had or the two previous dogs, like in your case, because they do the same things. And you go, how could it be, you know? So to answer this question precisely, I have to talk to Bailey about it. And more to the point, I would have to talk to the other two predecessors to understand whether or not they have a mission. But broadly, let me explain things. We can see one or two things. Number one, yes, animals who do reincarnate, and they sometimes come back to the same human. They have different guidelines for coming back. Not all of them come back. Sometimes they come back because they feel that their life mission is not complete and they needed to come back to the same person. Sometimes they came back because their death was accidental, and again, they didn't complete their life mission. If you have had animals that had a very long and satisfying life, chances of reincarnation are slimmer. Doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. It means that it's slim. But what does happen, and this is something that I call, I figure out a name to call it because there was nothing out there that could explain it. But I'll explain it to you what that is. The animals that were in your home that you had before that have passed continue to be around you, meaning their energy is around you. So when you get a new puppy that is just growing up, that is just beginning to understand who it is, it picks up these energies from the animals that were in your home and makes them his own, so that he displays the same things that your previous dogs did. So what I call this is energy imprinting. Mm. So they would go to the same spot, they like the same toy, they go to the same bed, they sleep in the same position, they do the same things as your previous dogs have. That doesn't mean that it's a reincarnation. Energy in your house is so strong because of the love that you had for your pets and the pets had for you, that they pick up on that energy. So now, first, let me ask you if this is something that is making sense to you.
Actually, it's making perfect sense, and I get that for sure, yes.
Thank you very much. So let me say something else that people ask me all the time. People want to know, how is it energy of the previous pet is in my home and I don't feel it? I don't see it. And I came up with something that will help people understand what is it, or why is it, rather, that we do not see the energy of those spirits that are past.
Yeah.
I want you to imagine that you are looking at a bicycle that is standing in front of you. You see the bicycle and you see the spokes of the wheel, and you can see it very clearly. The bicycle is standing in front of you. But then all of a sudden, a kid comes onto the bicycle and starts to pedal away from you. You're going to follow that kid and you're going to look. You're in your car. The kid is in his bicycle, and pretty soon you'll realize that the kid is still riding his bicycle, but you no longer see the spokes. Why?
Correct.
Because our eyes are not used to seeing something go by so fast. So we see the wheel, but we no longer see the spokes. I want you to think of the energy of your kids who are past as something that is vibrating at such a high event, at such a high velocity that you can no longer see them, but they're still there. They're still with you, still around you. They're still in your home.
Mm.
Okay?
I believe that.
That's the energy. That's the spirits that are around you, and that's the reason why we can't see them.
Awesome. Awesome. Terry, thank you. Thank you for this.
Thank you. I did have one other question, and he does have a lot of anxiety from me, separation-wise.
Yes, yes. I need to talk to him about what really happened.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, anxiety comes from an old memory. And many times I found that when the pets, when the puppies are taken away from their parents at 8 weeks old or less, they become very anxious to be separated from their parents. So that means you have become, you know, the only parent he knows. And when you leave the house or leave him for any extended period of time, they become very anxious. And that's why I always recommend never to get a puppy who is younger than 10 weeks.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Terry, for actually giving us calls, posting your pictures, all of the above. Dr. Monica, we have about 2 minutes left here. I want to do a couple things. I want to just make sure people have the information or contact you and work with you directly. And also, what is the best way to just let people know a bit about the range of work you do?
Yes. My website is full of information. That's www.petcommunicator.com. But if anybody has any questions about what I do, how I do it, when I do it, whatever questions they have, give me a call. I am in the office all the time unless I am talking to a client, and I will return your call within 24 hours no matter what. Now, do remember that I am in California, and I'm at the office 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. California time, every day, Monday through Friday. I try not to work on weekends if I can help it, but I do work with you if you have an emergency, if you have a pet that is dying or someone that is in the vet's office. So call or send me an email at drmonica@petcommunicator.com, and you will get an answer from me right away.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Monica, everybody. Last question, what's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with?
You know, my message is very simple. We have to listen to our pets, because when we realize that they are sentient beings, that they feel what we feel, they have hopes, they have wants, they have needs, then we have a much better relationship, and that's what we want. We want to have a friend with us forever.
I love it. Thank you, Dr. Monica. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Go to petcommunicator.com. Dr. Monica, let's take a short break, folks. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Pet Talk with Pet Communicator, Dr. Monica, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month to solve your pet problem. For more information on Dr. Monica and communicating with your pet, visit PetCommunicator.com. Audio was via a bad call.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good St. Patrick's Day to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Starting things off over on, looks like,
I-5 northbound, just around the West Seattle Bridge. A small little stop-and-go issue, but smooth into downtown Seattle. Everywhere else, actually, traffic's also looking pretty good. It's a quiet Tuesday morning on St. Patrick's Day.
Special report coronavirus update. The checks will soon be in the mail. That is the word from Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
We're looking at sending checks to Americans immediately. And what we've heard from hardworking Americans, many companies have now shut down, whether it's bars or restaurants. Americans need cash now, and the president wants to get cash now. And I mean now, in the next 2 weeks.
Congress and the White House are negotiating an $850 billion recovery package. President says the economy will revive thanks to partisan action being taken now.
There's great spirit, tremendous spirit, and I can say that for Republicans and Democrats.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Bars and nightclubs, effective 5 p.m. today, they're going to be suspended for 30 days in the state of Florida.
The CDC reports 4,300 cases of coronavirus, an increase of nearly 750. The number of deaths has risen by 7 to 75. I'm Mike Moss. Americans are fearful that food supplies may not hold out. But correspondent Vanessa Yurkevich reports from New York, the industry is confident it can get supplies out, though there may be times when deliveries are behind schedule.
We're at a food distribution center, so this is a middleman between the producers of the food and the grocery stores. What we're seeing here is a 50% increase in demand. The owner of this distribution center says that they can meet the demand, but they're just asking people to be patient. It's a little bit slow. They're trying to catch up, but they don't want to worry people. When you're seeing barren shelves, it just means that they're catching up with this incredible demand, especially in food.
Presidential primaries are being held in Florida, Illinois, and Arizona with special precautions. Ohio postponed today's primary for concern about the transmission of the coronavirus. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 597. I'm Mike Moss.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And again, happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there. Taking a look at the weather situation, mostly sunny skies with increasing clouds later on today. And temperatures around 54 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows dropping down to about 37. For Wednesday and the rest of the week, partly to mostly sunny skies, high temperatures hovering in the mid to upper 50s, with low temperatures in the upper 30s to low 40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, we are living in extraordinary times right now. And Dr. Kathy Rivera is joining me here today because we are really going to get down. This is really a power-up radio conversation today for a lot of reasons. But one of the things that I want to share before I introduce Dr. Kathy and get into it is, you know, there are two sides of things. And, you know, the one side is dealing with the reality of our times. The flip side is honoring the courage. And, Benny, our hats go out and our hat goes off to the courage that, you know, we're seeing with people in the greater Seattle area, Jennifer in particular, who was the first candidate to volunteer for the COVID-19 vaccine. And this is something that she did not have to do. This is a person that's not sick. Her organization is working with her so she can be part of this study. They showed her first injection yesterday, and off we go to really talk about what I call the nature of fear and courage. Today, we're talking with Dr. Kathy Aubert, who is a best-selling author. She is known for her brilliant work in organizations with originals to really that level of expertise, putting her in front of hundreds of higher education groups, people, through leadership development, training, consulting. And she is on the forefront, on the front lines of what is happening in our organizations, in our businesses. She sees it. She writes about it. She works with people to bring folks together to create more equitable, inclusive environments, right? And, you know, even in situations where you have our leadership of our of the country asking one of our Supreme Court justices to, you know, recuse herself because of her age, we're really struck by a dynamic that we are so unwilling to talk about and address. But today, you know, Dr. Kathy is coming here to the forefront. The host of her own show, which we're going to talk about here, is how do we create racial inclusivity? So creating racially inclusive high-performance teams is so important that her and my history of looking at this, we could tell you countless stories of why these teams come together and they are better, higher performing than groups of individually, culturally singular groups. And there's a lot of studies on this, but today that nobody is talking about except Dr. Kathy over there. Dr. Kathy, great to have you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. And I just want to join you in sending love and healing light to all the listeners and all communities. And these times are unprecedented in my lifetime. They're unexpected, incredibly turbulent. And it's a time also when if we take our eyes off the ball around racial justice, racism is going to continue to flare up everywhere we look. And we can just look at how the administration has been talking about, first of all, their lack of efforts, but then now that they're running to catch up, the racist ways that the current administration has been positioning. That's happening in our organizations, it's happening in our communities, and so particularly we whites, as most folks are probably scared, yes, courageous, yes, reaching out to people, but who are we reaching out to?
Yeah.
Our neighbors that are in racially segregated areas, are we reaching out to across races? Are we doing it virtually online? So who are we reaching out to as we're supporting to have courage, faith, and all they need in these times when not only in organizations but in the society and world, the resources are really being set up for folks who already have a lot of access and privilege. And so I'm excited to join you today to help keep the issues of racial justice on our screen while we are also scrambling, staying centered, praying to show up as our highest nature so we can be a part of creating the changes that need to be happening here and supporting the lives.
You know, what you do and the conversation you bring to the table and the level of truth and directness is so important right now. You know, I made a statement the other day, and I'm just going to keep it really brief, but I was talking about what my friend, who's an immigration attorney, was talking with me about. And what she said was, has any thought? And I said, well, like, what's the thought? She said, what do you think about the number of cases of the virus and those states being states which are sanctuary states? And I said, but yeah, I've talked about it and it's common sense. Because this is a time when people want to come out, people of all races, and come together as a unity, as a unified group. Say, we want to help in any ways we can. But if we are afraid to come forward and we are a person of a group and we are definitely not going to come forward, there is a cost that we can't quantify very well. And that happens, especially when we're looking at performance teams and organizations, doesn't it?
It does, and it's a great point that sanctuary cities might have places where folks that are undocumented or assumed to be because of racism, xenophobia. I hadn't thought of this, but until you said that, if I'm right, it's Washington State, New York, California, which is probably San Francisco, L.A. They're also huge airports, and so there probably are a lot of reasons why those areas are particularly seeing larger numbers now, and it could be full resources to do more testing because the federal government has woefully and criminally, in my opinion, fallen behind. So speaking of woefully behind, what are organizations doing in these critical times? Are they only giving people who have white-collar jobs the opportunity to work from home, in fact, requirement, and folks that are low-income, have very low-paying jobs, hourly workers, and no paid sick days, are they being required to show up? And are the, so all of this, while that could sound hierarchical in class, we know because of racism in this country, many more folks in those low-paying, unpaid leave jobs are immigrants of color, domestic folks of color. We could just keep going.
Well, I talked to one of our state senators who's a friend of mine, and I'll tell you what, timely and so important, because there is an underpinning of truth which we are not getting to. And let me tell you how systemic it is for us, which we don't even think about. So here, let me give you one thing, and I would love to hear your thoughts on it. So in the state of Washington, of course, our governor, Jay Inslee, for the most part, you know, comes out and full-blown program of what to do and how to do it, right? But one of the things that he did and the federal government is doing, and again, he's doing this twice. In our state, small businesses get a B&O tax, right, on gross wages. So if you're a small business and you earn, I don't know, $100,000, you have to pay the state on your gross wages. Now, they added a surcharge to that. But here's what's happening. The people that have paid all their taxes on time, now this is both federal now and in state, if you've been fine and been able to pay those taxes like right on time, you're good to go. You're going to get a waiver, Dr. Kathy, of any penalties. But if you have not been able to do that in 18 months, you're not part of the waiver group. So I said to them, I said, what are you people thinking? So these are the people in our state that are made up of the groups that you and I are talking about today. Not everybody, but there's life going on for some irrational, illogical decision that's made on some principle of punishment rather than compassion. That's it. That's all I'm going to say today.
And a quick tool that anybody can use, whites and of color, indigenous, multiracial, is in any of those groupings, those meetings, ask by group membership, particularly about race and class, will this decision have a differential negative impact that we're not anticipating? Just ask by race and class, what's going to be the impact that we're not thinking about? Are there more people we need to get involved who might think differently from us and help us see, because if we make a policy that has a racist implication at this point or a classist implication, are trying to undo that, much less the impact to our reputation, the cost to people's lives, is going to be so significant. We need to just slow down for a moment and ask these questions. And so that of what organizations could be doing now is they're scrambling to make decisions based on no background and how do we deal with COVID-19 and all it means right now, and how are we considering? So, for instance, is every manager and supervisor being required to daily reach out, whether it's 10 feet away or electronically or you pick up the phone, to each person they supervise and then asking how they're doing? Not, let's get to work. And why is this about race? Because most white managers feel much more comfortable talking to other whites,
yep.
And so they may have more in-depth, emotional, supportive conversations, whereas the folks of color might be, hey, how you doing? Great. Did you get those three tasks done? And so that impersonal, tasky, just replicates the kind of racist microaggressions that happen every day when we are face-to-face or even virtually. And so having senior leaders trickle down to all managers, supervisors, reach out and make sure you're doing equitable time, energy, focus, and lead with how can we support you? What do you need? Really countering that task, time is money, really shifting the culture to employee engagement. It could be that how we respond in these next few months, particularly these next weeks, could help employees and managers realize there's another way to engage, which is not based on white culture, which is top-down, power hoarding, do it my way, either or perfectionism, but community, collectivism. Everybody has a voice. Yes, there's hierarchy, but how do we empower all and get brilliant ideas from everyone and not assume it's really just white folks that have the ideas because of these racist attitudes we were socialized with and still carry to this day?
You know, you're bringing up a really good point, but I want to skip rolling with this for a minute. There are consequences of our behavior right now. Now, you and I both know there are consequences from decades of behavior, right? Like, there are all those consequences. But right now, we may be creating a woundedness. And somebody would ask the question, and I know you asked this question, why should white people care? Well, here's the thing. We're not even clear in our mindset of the damage we're doing. And let me give you an example. And not just to people of a particular group, right? I had a friend call me about a month ago, and said, hey, I don't know what to do. And I said to him, what do you mean? He works for, what shall I say, a large software organization, right? And I said, what do you mean? He says, I have a situation. He says, Alice Lee was told to go home and work from home. And Alice Lee is of the Asian community. And he said, but none of us have been asked to go home. So Alice works for me, and I don't know what to say to Alice about why she was asked to go and work from home. And it was presented like, hey, Alice, this is the greatest thing you could do. Go work home, right? This was a month ago scenario. One, we have now targeted Alice Lee, and I'm keeping the name confidential. It's not really Alice Lee, so please, folks. But two things. One, Alice Lee now had been targeted early as somebody, oopsie, something wrong with Alice. And two, we've got this other population that feels like, why am I not able to work from home? Can you see this is one situation and the complex nature of this? But this is the work you do. What things are you seeing, and what do you make of that scenario?
Well, the racist attitudes that's being not only perpetuated by senior leadership and how they're framing this is getting then filtered down. So to racially identify, I'm assuming, the only Asian-American, Asian-presenting person, because your name, the end of Lee, I assumed it was L-I as opposed to L-E-E. That's just one example of thousands that are happening everywhere. And so asking directly employees who are Asian, Asian American, whether it's South Asian, Southeast Asian, because most whites, U.S. born, and possibly other folks of color that are U.S. born, maybe international, may not discriminate, as in cannot figure out who's what. So they have this Chinese bias, but it expands to all Asian American folks. And so particularly asking, how are you doing given the racist dynamics that have just exploded in ways that I wasn't anticipating? And so check in, just like you would after a recent, the synagogue bombing or mass murder. You check
right.
in with Jewish friends. And after another black person is killed by police, you might check in with your colleagues
right.
in a similar way. And then as leaders, are you having conversations about how do we respond if we find out that one of our own employees, leaders, managers does something racist, not only towards Asian, Asian American community members, but in general, what's our stance? And so do we need to be putting out an organization-wide saying, in these times, we want people to be supported and to be particularly aware that when people are feeling scared in their communities and scared about scarcities, the racist and other forms of oppression will probably show up more. And so here are the resources that you have access to. If you experience them in your community, whether it's employee resource groups that might continue meeting, whether it's an EAP program, employee assistance program, or where leaders say, text and call me directly and I will get on the phone. I may not be helpful, but I will listen and then support you thinking about what's next. And we have a zero tolerance policy. Racist dynamics of any kind, and in this case, there might be an increase of anti-Asian, Asian American, there is zero tolerance, and we will deal with it as performance issues.
What is fueling this, Dr. Kathy? What is fueling this from your perspective? Because you see this every day. It's a little shocking for those of us here in the Pacific Northwest now that think we've got the, you know, we've done so well, right? You know, on the discrimination card, right? I grew up on the East Coast, but where is the fuel for this coming from? It almost seems to me like we're going back like 50 years or something. I don't know. Maybe I live in a bubble.
Well, I join you in that bubble. I know. Me and I thought we'd been making enough progress that we would have had a different result in November of 16. And then I've seen just emboldened, escalating, accelerated racist, xenophobic dynamic power. And so I'm not saying we're more racist attitudes than we had, but folks are showing up. So I'm not sure there's been a lot of shift in we whites carrying racist attitudes, beliefs that we're better, smarter, superior. Folks of color are deficit and deserve to be under us, literally in organizations. So there's that level. You know, if you look at any of the articles about what we're talking about, what, 95 to 97% of most U.S. companies have very few, if any, people of color in leadership. And just because you have a person of color in leadership does not mean it is safe for them to speak up. In fact, it's probably incredibly dangerous for a person of color in government, in leadership, in any kind of organization to be leading racial justice work because they will get moved out of the organization quickly. And so it's really the role of whites partnering with senior leaders who might be folk of color. Boards are mostly all white in this entire country and probably other white, predominantly white countries. And so unless we have strong white change agents who are really co-conspirators leading, partnering with, I'm not saying leading over, but working with and taking the heat using our white privilege, then organizations will just be status quo because this takes a lot of courage, faith, and a lot of work to really say, particularly to white employees and leaders, we are not competent. Some of the research I was glancing at, most supervisors feel uncomfortable talking about race. Whites don't feel comfortable. We're afraid we're going to make a mistake, get called racist. We're afraid that'll impact productivity. If we're only measured by productivity or what, if we're not being measured by high engagement, retention, if you're not penalized, if you have a revolving door, here's the thing. So many organizations that I work with say, well, we have the same number, if not increasing by 1 or 2% folks of color than we used to. My first thought is, A, that's not enough. It's not reflecting your customers. But B, I want data. Go back in the last 5-10 years. What's the longevity? Are you just having folks of color leaving the revolving door because it is toxic, dangerous for them to be here. They're hitting a glass ceiling that is so low. And you're just hiring others, so your numbers, your demographics look good. And I'm much more interested in competency development at the same time. What are you doing to develop the competencies of leaders and managers and all employees to lead with a racial lens, to look at embedded racist dynamics, racist policies, practices, and everything we do? That's the work we could be. Now, I'm not saying necessarily today because we're healing from the last week, but as you look at the next 2 to 4 weeks, a lot of professional development could be done saying this is a critical role as we move into the next few months, we have to change our culture or we're going to continue.
Yeah.
Decrease in retention. Exhaustion. Folks of color are exhausted. Emotional labor, they're taxed doing 2 and 3 jobs, doing the equity, inclusion, racial justice work, while we whites are left to only do one job, the one we have. And so, and then just the negative, destroying impact of the consistent racist microaggressions. So why does this keep going? We're not paying attention, and we see people of color as dispendable. That's the right word, expendable and disposable.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting about where we are now, and I hope, let me ask you about this, because, you know, this is something I was going to ask you about. I got a call from an old colleague of mine and said, hey, Pat, are you still doing organizational work? Do you still have the company OC, the Organizational Consulting Group? And I said, well, I do some. They said, well, you better fire that company up again. And I said, why? They said, well, we are going to be looking for people that know how to work with organizations right now on just this issue. So is this something that you're being sought after to come in and help with? Because, see, the greatest fear I have when we're talking about inclusivity and teams is not getting help now and minimalizing the damage that we're already seeing being done.
I and many colleagues, particularly of color, being asked to come in with organizations that are doing pretty well, and then how can we be more inclusive and cutting edge? And in this last year plus, have been asked in with some of my colleagues of color in departments that are at a crisis stage, finding, and I believe that more and more folks of color, particularly younger folks of color, particularly women of color, particularly black women, are saying, oh, no, enough is enough. We will not tolerate this level of inattention, this level of increasing racist dynamics. We will not tolerate it. And the investment and courage and career-impacting move of folk of color saying, we need to do something now or we may not be here. Folks of color could just leave, but I'm seeing the incredible courage of folks of color saying, we want something different. And organizations, if you don't look at your data, whether it's focus group, whether it's survey, whether it's 101, and really disaggregate it, not only by race, but then women of color, men of color, trans of color, immigrants of color, folks with disabilities of color. If you don't start hierarchically of color, if you don't start really looking at the intersections that Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw talks about, you're going to miss a lot of the nuances. And your leaders and staff and employees, particularly are white, will not have the capacity to create high-performing teams because of the revolving door. And so, yes, more and more organizations need to do this, are asking. And my fear is, given the current chaos and just trauma of COVID-19, that I want things to settle a bit, but my fear is some white leaders are going, now that we have to deal with this, equity and inclusion, much less racism, let's work, off the table. Yeah, we'll keep the employee resource groups, fine. But now we can just get back to the way it was. If any organization does that, they are going to be threatened by liability. They're going to lose customers, employees, in addition to the financial costs that are happening in this last month, if not the future 6 months. So it is such a business case to invest in racial justice now.
Oh, yeah.
As we should have been for decades.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is so important, Dr. Kathy. Dr. Kathy O'Bear is joining me here today. Please give us a call, comment, question, 1-800-930-2819. This is so important that organizations do not have a really good barometer right now for the degree by which they have already created a damage quotient. They don't even have that now. But if we use the past as a benchmark and we watch what we're doing now, there must be somebody in the organization that could make a case to say, we've got to learn how to communicate now. We've got to learn how to anticipate what it's going to be like for people in organizations. We've got to anticipate even the joking that goes on. I got a text from somebody I hadn't heard in a long time. Do you know what they asked? Let's take a short break and I'll tell you. This text, I never thought that I would get a text of this nature about who I am. But I got this text and it was supposedly joking. But if that's the kind of joke you're making and you're making it in public, are we in trouble? Let's take a break. Dr. Kathy Aubert, please go to Dr. Kathy's website, drkathyaubert.com. When we come back, I'm going to share what that so-called joke was and then the message of what we need to be done to create not less radically inclusive. This is the time for more racially inclusive teams, organizations, people. But I will say, you may not know how to do it. Dr. Kathy's here. We'll be right back.
Ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Eternal purpose is calling out to you each and every day. Are you listening? Tune in to Dynamic Destiny Radio with Coach Pete Cafarcio every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be your authentic self and live the life that you were destined for. Learn practical tools to discover your purpose and conquer other fears that keep you stuck in a life of mediocrity. Learn more about Coach Pete by visiting PeteCoaching.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Some people dream of freedom before they know it even once. What happens when we find ourselves in unimaginable freedom? We're tired, children are grown, we've moved on from caregiving, and don't know what to do with all that time you never had before. Well, it's your life. It's up to you now. On the Hit Me show, Fresh Courage, it's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Look, this is the Dr. Pat Show, but this is one of our power-up versions of the show because, you know, Dr. Kathy Aubert is joining me here today because we're talking about something that people are just not talking about. And sometimes in life, what happens is you will act in a certain way, and then you will wish you didn't. And as an individual, as a person, you may be able to go back and repair some of the damage, make amends. There are a number of things you probably could try and do. But sometimes it just isn't enough that you could do because people don't forget. And right now, and what we have learned in the history of organizational performance is that the power of really inclusive teams, the power of that across the board has demonstrated the studies, anecdotal case studies of what the potentiality is. And we have come a long way to literally foster and nurture those teams in the workplace. Haven't done a great job, but we certainly have gotten to the place where we know that there are people of value across the board. One area in particular I will tell you that I'm familiar with is in our medical profession. Clear that in the medical profession, it is so important to not exclude that the talent that comes to the table, that talent is the talent of doctors and nurses and others. And when somebody is in that operating room, they're not looking first at the color of the skin. They're looking at your talent for being able to really perform a surgical procedure or not. But boy, what's happening now, and the reason that we are doing this show is because the ugly head of racial exclusivity is showing up. And we're joking about it, and there's nothing here to joke about. But the question now, because I have listened to Dr. Kathy O'Bear and her show, the question really is, what can be done to create more racially inclusive, high-performance teams and organizations today? Today. Not later, because you've got to stop the behavior now. Dr. Kathy, this is a very big, important conversation and a message for organizations of every size, isn't it?
It is such a critical time, even before COVID-19, but a critical time now to not just move this off the screen. Give people maybe a couple weeks to settle into whatever life is becoming in the short, medium, or long term. And then how can this be one of your critical key focuses is moving forward, pulling together at our hiring, retaining, onboarding practices with a race lens. Let's look at our products and services with a race lens. Let's look at what our data says. Let's look at what other data we need, because we are committed that we can no longer afford any decrease in productivity, innovation, employee engagement, customer service, financial viability. And we realize that we may be doing things unintentionally that could be negatively impacting our colleagues of color, multiracial folk, indigenous folk, much less our customers. And so really this incredible time of trauma and chaos, could this be a time of opportunity to increase your ability, bring people together, not only in your organization, maybe in your community, and have a larger conversation that might also get more racial diversity into the conversations? Because we white people have generally not done a good job of creating inclusive organizations, racially inclusive teams. Yes, demographically, a little bit maybe. But demographics is not enough. The revolving door, if we don't change the culture and the climate, and we're not really increasing the competencies of all whites and holding whites accountable to increase their competencies and show up racially competent and creating policies, practices, services to customers internally that really meet the needs, accelerate the success, thriving of all, including folk of color. That's what we have to hold as the vision. And leaders now can come out and say, this is what we've said because of the racism and xenophobia that's been going on. So, increase maybe, especially now, we are zero tolerance and we are proactively making these steps to look at what we're doing and how can we improve, knowing this may take months while we're juggling elder care, child care, and we are not waiting, because if we wait, they'll have dire consequences for our employees and our customers, and maybe the financial viability of our organization.
You know, it's interesting because about 2 weeks ago, I was asked by one of our hosts what we were going to do as the network. And 2 weeks ago seems like a lifetime ago, really. But when I think about it, yeah. And we were asked 2 weeks ago about what we were going to do. And we have some great ideas. But something happened to me personally. And, of course, I play ping pong. None of us are playing ping pong because the places have shut down. That wasn't a joke. Just as an example, I'd like to share it. Because if something like this is being said to me in jokingly, I must think that people might be thinking this, right?
Totally.
So I get this message, and it's like, hey, Goomba, hey, you're probably quarantining yourself for a year. And I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? I'm self-quarantining myself because a friend of mine had some kind of bug, flu. They don't know what it is, but it sounded like it could be. So I'm like quarantining myself, right? I don't want to bring it to the office. And then I get a, no, you know, it's like, hey, Paisan, you know what I mean. You people, you Italians. And I'm like texting back because I'm not getting it. I'm just not putting it together, right? I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, look at what's going on in Italy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, did you just do that? Did you just, in ignorance about even finding out what's going on in Italy, did you just go to that place where Italians might be more susceptible? Did you really get? I mean, I must be living in a bubble if this is still going on. What do you make of a comment like that? I mean, okay, joking, not so much to me, because I'm telling you, that seed got it in my brain, and I started to think, well, wait a minute, is that true? And I went online, and I started to Google it because I was thinking, right? But how crazy is that?
The flippancy with which people, particularly whites in this case, will say things without thinking is just reflective of what's happening in our organizations. It's happening on emails. And think about the impact if that were an email that went out to a team joking. Now, I have found myself with my friends, we're kind of all on a chat together, serious as well as some joking, because I need humor to balance out. So on the one hand, how do we help people think? So could leaders put out an email saying, in this time, be very clear. Your emails, what you say in person, because what you think is funny or a joke could be fueled by all kinds of bias and will have significant impact. So could, I mean, that's probably what the 20th thing we've talked about, what could happen. But it's, as you said, if this white person is saying this to you as a white person of Italian heritage, what are they saying behind closed doors? What are they saying that has more racist implications, xenophobic implications, and I don't know if it was Dr. Maya Angelou or I don't know who said it. How someone does anything is how they do everything.
Yeah. Wow.
So someone might say, oh, it's just one joke. How someone does anything is how they probably do everything. And so as managers and leaders, recognizing we have for decades excused away a racist comment, a racist joke, a practice that seems to be white privilege. Oh, no, that's just a good business practice. Instead of the canary in the coal mine, either what somebody said that was racist or what they didn't do that perpetuated racism and what's underneath it. If you want to use the iceberg analogy, this is just the tip. So how do we get people, when the time is right, but not too much farther, especially in HR, to look at, let's look at our pay with not only a race but intersectional lens by people of color, men of color, trans of color, women of color, by heart, and just looking at how we're doing stretch opportunities, development opportunities with that intersectional lens, because that data could help leaders in 3 or 4 weeks when they're not scrambling to then say, we have some gaps here, and if we really want high-performing teams, high-performing divisions, we need to invest differently than we have.
About, this is the next thing I want to talk with you about. I don't think that we're stopping enough to take a breath, to ask ourselves, are we behaving in a way that's going to foster the kind of team performance we really need in the world to be the company we envision us to be? And this is this place that I've seen working in the corporations you see on a regular basis, where unless, Dr. Kathy, someone like you reaches out to companies and says, we have something of importance to you, we want to come in and work with your leadership team and work with others so that you're building a strong foundation for today and the future. If someone like you is not able to do that, the chaos that my friends are telling me right now that are going on in organizations, it's beyond anything I've ever seen, right? I have seen a few things in my day, but this, it's almost like a silent killer because people aren't really talking, but they're taking action that is so harmful and hurtful.
And organizations, whether it's nonprofit, well, education, corporations, are not prioritizing. They are saying things like teamwork. But if we don't really focus on the racist, interpersonal microaggressions, how, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 most people color experience every day in the organization.
Yeah.
And the culture and the climate that says white way is the right way, our culture is the only way. If we don't intentionally get ahead of this now.
Yeah.
And so most whites, I think, are at the individual level. I'm a good one. I don't say anything racist. First of all, we're not aware of the racist dynamics that we perpetuate. We're not aware, kind of like your friend. We're not aware of how white culture has been set up as the only way because we're not talking about this. We don't know about white privilege, how it's embedded into all hiring practices, promotion practices. And so it's going to take significant development awareness. And so in this time when people are hopefully not working with other people face-to-face, there might be a little more time to do book clubs, whether it's the book that I have on your site, but
yeah.
I'm not racist, Tools for Well-Meaning Whites, and there's a 14-page book club guide, all free. 100,000 plus have already downloaded for free. Download it for everybody in your organization. Just need a few people with the capacity to organize some whites, and it could be 5-10 people, who want to really use an hour a week to look at how they might be still holding on to racist attitudes,
yeah,
behaviors, and then more find the courage to speak up in the moment and be leaders. If organizations don't have the internal capacity, how can they think about, as a longer-term strategy, identifying one person in each department who's going to be trained up to have an equity inclusion lens, with racism a key part of that center? But most organizations, to be honest, they'll listen to this, and a lot of whites will not listen. But if you come at it strategically, say, full breadth of differences, so we increase our ability to serve everyone and also attract and retain the best talent, while you're doing that, make sure you keep race-centered in the conversation. Don't throw it off the tables. We're looking at issues of, for LGBTQ, people with disabilities, folks who have different religious backgrounds. So that might be a strategy move to then develop what I call an inclusion partner, somebody in every department,
yeah,
who is a thought partner with a leader, because most leaders, managers, supervisors don't have the capacity. One research data I showed, the 41% of managers said, I don't have time to deal with equity inclusion. And that's in addition to the folks that are trying but not competent. So how do you use this time creatively, innovatively,
yeah,
to scaffold development for everyone, but especially for somebody who could be a thought leader inside every department, so the leaders don't feel so incompetent that they don't do anything, but they know they have someone they can work with, an inclusion partner.
And this is really the time, though, that people really get on board. You mentioned one of your books. I want to take a moment and please share with folks some of the books you have, because this is the time when folks that are listening, right, you're thinking, what do I give my manager? What can I, how can I point them in a direction? What do I do to say, wait a minute, we could prevent a problem? And you have a number of ways that you could do that, because I think what's really important here is look, I consider myself to be pretty aware, and I Google what's going on in Italy. I mean, right? I mean, I know better, and I still went online to find out if it was a joke or not.
Fear and terror are such deep fueling behavior. I relate. Each day I've had moments of anxiety and I've had to talk myself down.
Yeah.
I too have gone to research because when I know more,
yeah,
then I can change my thoughts. Like I have all I need, believe in faith. But several times a day I'm getting into urgency. So community is critical. So I've been reaching out to friends and colleagues, to be honest, next week. Hopefully by the end of the week, I'm starting twice a week. People that want to come together and just be in community, talk about how can we, particularly as whites, learn together, how can we engage if there are racist comments, what can we be doing now to develop. I'm just going to pull people together on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Yeah. Wow.
Same time, same station. I think it's 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon, and I'll put a Zoom out. I'll put it on Facebook. I'll put it, sorry, go ahead.
Please tell me, because we want to make sure that folks get connected to you.
But I just feel helpless and useless. And so I saw something yesterday on Facebook, do what you can. What are your talents, your gifts? Do those.
Yeah.
And so I said, but I'm not racist. Tools for Many Whites has always been free on my website, as well as, I don't know, lots of other resources you can download. The Turn the Tide, How to Navigate Difficult Situations, I believe is still free on my website, but I'm going to make a note to make sure it is.
We need that right now.
Navigating when we feel a hot button and triggered, and how to use changing our thoughts, other self-care practices to not dismiss and say this is phooey, but a realistic analysis and not an over-fear so that we just spin. And how do we engage others when they are triggered, when they're on a hot button? Again, whether it's in our work environment, community, family. And the final one that's always been free on my website, In It for the Long Haul, Overcoming Passion Fatigue and Burnout. I particularly wrote this for people who are equity, inclusion, social justice change agents inside and outside organizations and could be useful as people are asking the question, how have I been living my life? How have I been burning a candle at 5N so that I'm not as innovative, creative, and I'm more quick to joke in offensive ways? I'm more scared to speak up as a change agent because I'm afraid I'll get fired. So I have self-care, community care, all intersecting with our work around dismantling racism and other forms of oppression, which is all related to navigating difficult situations, which are often fueled by bias, fear. We have to start with ourselves navigating why we are fueled to say things or go into fight, flight, freeze, flounder, so we can show up more effectively in those very difficult moments, which, to be honest, when I'm centered, aren't that difficult.
Yeah.
Someone says something racist or anti-Italian, I can easily say, so did you really just say that? Or why were you saying that? Or
what I did, because I'm telling you, it was like I didn't get the memo. Right? I didn't get the memo on it. And then finally, what I ended up doing before I did my research, I sent something back saying, hey, no worries. I stockpiled garlic, something like that. But we are really in times now where the work you do, first of all, let's say it can be done on Zoom. We can start Zoom meetings. We can field questions. We can bring people together. And by the way, there aren't very many that are taking this particular question on right now, Dr. Kathy. And this is one of the deadly killers right now. It's this kind of behavior, energetically and otherwise, that are creating levels of woundedness that I wonder if we'll ever really talk about.
And you said offline, will we recover from? Caller are probably looking right now, is there a place that's any better? Could I apply for a job even now or in 6 months? At least that's what I might be doing. When I was in organizations that were homophobic, you bet. In Texas, I was looking, so may not be the same. And what can we be doing now to really, again, I'm not saying today necessarily, but you have folks in your organizations, whether they're in HR, running employee resource groups, whether they're part of your inclusion change team, who first of all, reach out to find how they're doing. and then say, when, let us know when you want to come together, or if you're willing, given your particular life situation. We would love to start more public conversations within a group of willing and mostly competent around these issues to say, what could we be doing now to prepare for a month from now? And are there any decisions that we need to have a race lens on and get more people?
Yeah.
So look in your organizations. You have incredible resources there as well as outside. And I can give names of probably 100 people who do this work really effectively. And I'm sure there are even more in people's communities. You don't have to do it alone. And membership matters.
Yeah.
Sometimes folks of color are coming in to do this work as consultant and as an executive coach is critical. And sometimes having the white person who might get heard because folks of color have been discounted for decades, centuries. So think critically about who the messenger is, not only their competence, but group membership. And I have so many more ideas, Tuesdays, Fridays. If you get on anything on my website for free, you'll get on my master emailing list and you'll hear about it. Send it around. I don't know if that people will come.
Well, we'll announce it, too. People want a forum. They want a forum.
And community. You
know, they want a forum. They want community. And they want to make sure that it's okay for them to not know what they don't know right now.
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm good at this. Let's show up and collectively, what's your questions, dilemmas? I'll have ideas. But in the chat, let's give more. I don't know.
They're
in unprecedented times in our lifetimes, but collectively, I believe, with the race lens, we will have more answers and progress than if we isolate and perpetuate whiteness and white privilege as we keep doing in organizations.
Somebody said to me, hey, did you stop playing table tennis? And I said, well, I stopped because the place is closed. And then they asked me, would you go play? And I said, yeah, if one of the places were open, I'd go play. And they said, why would you do something like that? And I said, well, it's pretty easy. First of all, if you've ever watched anybody play, the level of sterilization, people wipe down tables, they wipe down bats, right? I said, there have ozone machines and CPAC machine cleaners that they're cleaning balls with. And I said, unless you plan to eat off the floor, generally don't are not within 6 feet of your opponent on a regular basis. And unless you're going to play the game and you don't want to wear your black tattoo gloves like I have, and I play with anyway, you have to think about what are we saying yes to and what are we saying no to. And if you don't go play, and this is what I said to them, it's not going to be because I play with Asian people.
I'm sheltering in place until they tell us otherwise.
Exactly, I am too.
You know what you do.
Thank you, Dr. Kathy. We're going to let people know about this. Hey, everybody, thank you for tuning us in. We'll see you next time.